The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to comfort you tonight. This is a message that's not going to end tonight, because every day we should think about it. Every day we should talk about it. Every day we should pray about it, the fact that the rapture might happen tonight. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I thank you for everyone that has come back. And I thank you that we have the Word of God. I thank you that we can trust its truths, that we can rely upon it, that we can trust it and live by it. And Lord, I pray that we would have a new motivation toward things that are prophetic. We call it eschatology, the doctrine of the last things. And this fits in that very item, that this is one of the doctrines of the things to come. And that might come tonight, we pray. We pray it would come tonight. And Lord, help us to be reminded of this statement that you did not give us prophecy to scare us, but to prepare us. And may that happen tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God for the Word of God. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I hope and pray I can do that for you tonight. I ended with, and just kind of a bit of a review, that the next thing on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. Then after that will be the judgment seat of Christ, which will go on for, I'm not sure how long, but it'll take place during the tribulation. And then we'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's when we're all going to be seated, and we're going to have the Bible calls it the marriage supper, so I would call it a supper. And we're all going to be, as my pastor used to say many years ago, that God is going to dress us in white robes so that we don't have to worry about adjusting our belt size. You know, he used to say that. But anyway, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then the return with Jesus at the second coming, which is near the end of, or at the end of, the tribulation. And then we're going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ during the thousand-year reign. That is a time when the lion will be able to lay down with the lamb. And then near the end of the tribulation, Satan is going to be loose for a season. And we're going to be judging angels, because people, even though they've lived on this earth for 1,000 years, they are going to become, as one commentator writes it, they're going to become glory hardened. And they're going to turn away from the Lord, and they're going to follow the devil, the evil one, and we're going to be part of judging those angels. And then Satan will be cast into the lake of fire, and he will suffer in that lake for eternity. And all those that do not know Jesus Christ are also going to suffer, but we have the great white throne judgment. And then number 7 is that all of us, after 1,000 years, will be moving into our eternal home. It's called the New Jerusalem. We read about that near the end of the book of Revelation, and I want to let that be my next subject tonight as we're talking about the rapture, because as the Bible says, well, it doesn't really say that, but it kind of conveys that God, as I said in my prayer, that God didn't give us prophecy to scare us, but to prepare us. And a gentleman by the name of Dr. Ed Hinson, I think, came up with that statement. And I heard it on a message that I was listening to, and I really do like that. But I want to talk about the New Jerusalem. What is it? Are we going to actually be in the New Jerusalem? I believe we are. I believe that's what John 14 is. When I normally do officiate funerals, and I've officiated many over the last 10 or 15 years, because my wife and I serve, as all of you know, we serve as chaplains for now the Santa Ana Police Department. And a lot of people that we've helped over the years, they don't go to church. And so, therefore, we try to talk to them about the gospel. And with that, I always offer my services. If they need someone to officiate the funeral for their loved one, I would be very willing to do that. And as a result, I've had many opportunities to do that. And one of the verses that I use is out of John chapter 14. John 14 says, "For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I am, there ye may be also." That's the passage of Scripture in that chapter where it says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And later down, I think it's verse 23, where it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So we don't have to fear. Shared that this morning, that we don't have to be afraid. God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to glorify Him. That's the very purpose in which He's given us. Amen? To glorify His holy name. And only the Christian has that purpose. And perhaps maybe you know somebody that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and they need that very same purpose in their life. So anyway, let's get to the New Jerusalem. This was the New Jerusalem, really. Hey, the millennium is a wonderful place. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, we're going to be living on this earth, and the lion's going to lay down with the lamb, and there'll be gorgeous vegetation and all the things. I mean, that's just a subject in itself, just to cover the millennium. But what's going to happen in the eternal state should really motivate us even more to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and hope for the rapture in our lifetime. And it could happen in our lifetime. It could happen in our generation. And are we ready for that? I hope we are. I hope all of you are. And I hope that all of you are encouraged by that. But if you read the book of Revelation near the end of the chapter, I think it's chapter 21, it says that it describes the New Jerusalem as being 1,500 miles in each direction. Now, this may be a poor example, all right? But there's a particular show that I watch from time to time, not every day, sometimes not every week, but maybe once to twice a month. It's called Star Trek. I'm not a Trekkie. My wife thinks I am, but I'm not. But there's a particular episode, and every time, and you know where I'm going with this, every time there's a particular episode that displays the Borg, you know, because they want to assimilate, you know, mankind and all the other aliens that are supposedly out there. And it comes in a form of a cube. And every time I see an episode that has that in it, I always think of New Jerusalem, because New Jerusalem is a square, is a cube, and it's 15 miles long and 15 miles high, and it's huge. But I want to go into a more of a description of what it's like. It's a cube, and it's coming down from heaven to earth, and it's coming down in glorious fashion. Well, it will. To give you an idea of this size, this immense city is slightly larger than our own moon. May I take off my coat, brother? A little hot up here. But it's slightly larger than our moon. And so how high is it? Well, think of it this way. The International Space Station is only 200 miles above the Earth. The New Jerusalem will extend seven times farther into space than our own space station. Huge. All right, if a building in New Jerusalem was to be built to the full height of the city, it would have about 646,000 floors. Imagine. The size of the city is so massive that if it were hovering over the North America, it would cover almost half of the continental United States. It's amazing. It would stretch from Florida to Maine and would be 150,000 times the size of London, currently the world's largest geographical city. The New Jerusalem could house 20 billion people, averaging 75 acres per person, still only using 25% of the city. Excuse me. Jesus has been building that city for almost 2,000 years. For in my Father's house are many mansions. In Revelation 21 and 22, we learn that the city of God will be covered in jewels and precious stones of every kind, more pure than anything that we've ever seen. Imagine that. God will have his throne there, and his glory will be the source of the city's never-ending light. God's presence in Scripture is often seen as a brilliant light. Do you remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai? They had to put a veil over him because he was so bright. He had been with God the Father for 40 days. And by the time he ended that event with the Father, he was as brilliant. And they had to put a veil over him in order to be able to look at him. In the New Jerusalem, the glory of God's presence will burst forth in an unlimited, radiating brilliance will be selected throughout the heavenly city, jeweled city, in a dazzling display of refracting colors. And we're all going to be there. That's where we're going to live. The city will have 12 gates, each made of a single pearl and eternally linked to the 12 tribes of Israel. The New Jerusalem will also be built on 12 solid foundations, eternally linked to the names after the apostles, who are, we are told, is the very foundation of the church. The makeup of the unity of the Old Testament and New Testament saints, of every tribe, nation, tongue, and people. Heaven's main street will be made of pure, clear gold, and a river flowing from the throne room of God's right down the middle of the street. Angels will stand at the gates, and the city will be populated by God's redeeming children. That's you and me, obviously. The New Jerusalem, the capital city of eternity, will serve as a perpetual reminder of God's redemptive plan through the ages. And we will call this place home. Don't you look forward to that? That is amazing. Read Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 20 and 21. Now, getting back to what we were covering this morning, I think the reason for the rapture, of course, that's when we're going to be brought up and be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I think the motivation of the rapture, as far as looking forward to it, should be the fact that the millennium is coming, and after that will be New Jerusalem. But when we live in this city, we are going to need new bodies. That's another great part about the rapture. All right? It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this verses 51 and 52, and I'll read on that. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. The twinkling of an eye, when people usually look at that, they think, well, that's the blinking of an eye. Well, a twinkling of an eye is far quicker than a blink. In fact, I looked it up here recently, and a twinkling of an eye is 18 thousandths of a second. That's right. 18 thousandths of a second. That's how fast that is. And we are going to be changed in that moment. God's going to give us glorified bodies. Amazing. Beginning also in 53, it says, "For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen. O death, where is thy sting? In verse 55. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we see that this is what we have to look forward to. God's going to give us glorified bodies. Bodies that will never age. I've read some commentators believing that we'll all be about 30 years old because that was when the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how old he was, actually 33, and that perhaps that's the age that we're going to be. I don't know that for sure, but you know, it doesn't matter, all right? God's going to give us glorified bodies, bodies that will be able to live in the heavenly city, bodies that will be able to go to heaven. And that's going to happen at the rapture. No question about that. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's a major pillar in the doctrine of the rapture. In Paul's revelation, that a whole generation of Christians will not die, but will be raptured and given bodies that will last forever, exactly like the bodies of those who were resurrected from the grave. All right? The rapture is a mystery. Maybe perhaps that's the reason why we don't talk much about it. But the rapture is introduced in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 as a mystery. Listen, I tell you, a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. The word mystery occurs 27 times in the New Testament, most frequently by the Apostle Paul. The mystery is a divine truth proposed by God ages ago, but revealed to man only in due time. And we see that in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 26. "Now to him that is of a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So that mystery has been revealed. That mystery is the rapture. The rapture is for those who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, probably the first epistle that Paul wrote, contributes more to the doctrine of the rapture than any other book in the New Testament. Let me share some of those verses with you today. First, we'll go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, which is a reference to the rapture and tribulation. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And we see here the wrath to come, that's referring to the tribulation. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19 is another reference. "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" See, when the Lord comes back, he's going to come back with his saints. And we're going to be behind him. We're going to be part of the second coming. We're going to be a company that's going to be with him. Some people get it mixed up that the rapture and the second coming are synonymous. They're the same thing. No, they are not. They are two different events. Some people believe that the rapture is the same as the second coming. But you know, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ does come back, but he doesn't actually touch the earth. When he comes back the second time, he's actually going to touch the earth. He's going to be in the earth or on the earth. But when the rapture occurs, we're going to meet him in the clouds. All right? Then after that, we're going to go back with him. And 7 years later, we're going to come back with him for when he comes back the second time after the end or during the end of the tribulation. So it's a different time altogether. No, there are no two second comings. The rapture and the second coming are not the same thing. And the reason why people believe that, because they think it is. But I have studied the Word of God in this quite thoroughly, and I just don't see it, because it's not there. All right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, is another reference to the end. He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Well, who are the saints? The saints, we are saints. Many times in the Pauline epistles, the Lord refers, or the Apostle Paul refers to the Christian as saints of God. All right? So when he comes back with the saints, that's you and me. Now, as we continue with more references, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 15, let's read that. But I would not have you to be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be ignorant in all of this. He wants us to know what's going to happen. We don't have to guess. We don't have to speculate. We can know for sure, just like we can know for sure of as far as our eternal destiny is concerned. All right? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Then in verse 15 it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. As we continue, who are the participants? And I read this verse, let's read it again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. We've already talked about that. Then, in the same book, chapter 5, but of the times and seasons, brother, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves now perfectly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We don't know when it's going to happen. But we know that it's imminent. It can happen at any time. All right? It's going to happen. So when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. So we look at the rapture. When somebody robs your house, I know I've been... My Jane and I both been robbed a number of times over the years. We were missionaries in Taiwan for several years. I was stationed over there while I was in the Air Force. It was my last duty station, and we were robbed, I think, 3 times while we were there. We had no idea when the thief was going to come. Every day when we left the house to go into the city, we always kind of wondered, I wonder if we're going to come back today and find that our house has been broken into. We never knew, all right? We were broken into several times, but we never knew what was going to happen. Well, we don't know when the rapture is going to happen either. It's just that we need to be ready for it because it is imminent. In other words, it can happen at any time. We need to be ready. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 through 8, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. That's the command of God. He wants us to watch and he wants us to be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We need to be alert. We need to be awake. We can't fall asleep. We need to be looking, awake, looking for the rapture that it could happen in our lifetime. All right, another verse in that same chapter, it says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Now, what do you think that means? Do you think we're going through the tribulation? I don't believe we are. I stated that this morning. This is another proof text. God has not appointed us to wrath. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He took upon himself your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world, that we might be saved. And God has not appointed us to the tribulation. We're going to escape that. All right? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And there's verse 23, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not appointed us to wrath. We don't have to be afraid. I've had the opportunity to witness to a few people over the years, being a chaplain, and I knew this one lady that I was trying to talk to, and I said, you need to be saved. If you don't get saved, you're going to have to suffer the tribulation, and you don't want to go through that. And she said, well, I know I should accept Christ, but I'm just going to wait until the tribulation, then I will accept Christ. Well, I was kind of wondering about that, because how can you guarantee that? I mean, God's going to send a delusion. Yes, people will be saved during the tribulation. There's no question about that. I mean, we have the 144,000, right? 12,000 from each tribe. Their job, their responsibility, their mission is to reach other people for Jesus Christ, right? And they're going to be saved, the people that they reach, right? We call those tribulation saints. Yes, saints are going to be saved, or people are going to be saved. They are saints, but they're tribulation saints. But you don't have a guarantee that you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right? So you might as well put it off, or not put it off, and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior now. Another thing that I'm sorry for my... I'm really sorry about that. Another thing that I tell people when I try to witness to them, I tell them, sir, I really would like for you to trust Christ as your Savior. Especially, the rapture could happen tonight. And I told this one guy I was talking to about the Lord, I said, I just don't want to get to heaven and find out that you're not there. Isn't that the kind of attitude that we should have? Because there are people that we can witness to. But, sometimes we're all, sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we fear rejection. But we just need to step out and love people and build relationships. All right? And go out into the community and tell people about Jesus Christ. And help them to see that, hey, the rapture could occur tonight or in our lifetime. I have no idea, but I know it's imminent. All right? I do know that. And it could happen in our lifetime. I believe that. So why put salvation off? Why don't you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? I mean, is it that hard to understand? Is it that hard to do? Anyway, now we kind of, let's kind of go into the book of Revelation a little bit tonight. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Says there, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The hour of temptation, again, this is another promise from the Word of God. We're going to see that God's going to keep us from that hour, that we don't have to be here. We won't be here during the tribulation. You know, we have the freedom and we have the forgiveness, knowing that Christ came into our lives and He saved us and He redeemed us and He forgave us. So what's the reason for us having to go through the tribulation? I just don't find it. I just don't believe it's there. I don't believe the Word of God teaches that. All right? I hope you do too. Now, getting back to John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. Perhaps maybe some of you today are just a little troubled. I know I have been. I shared that this morning with you. But maybe we're troubled because of the pandemic and because of the COVID and all that's happening in our lives right now. But the Word of God says, don't be troubled about it. All right? It's, you know, what we need to focus on is the fact that in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Those are the kind of things I think that we need to focus on and to meditate upon and give ourselves wholly unto it. That's what we need to do, because we know that right now, God, the Lord Jesus, is preparing a place for us. I mentioned that already. All right. Another verse says, when we study these primary rapture texts, we discover several important facts that help shed light on what is taking place at the beginning of Revelation chapter 4. Now, the beginning of Revelation chapter 4 is when John is taken up into heaven, and that's how he's able to, you know, view everything that's happening in the book of Revelation. At the rapture, all church-aged believers, dead and alive, will be given bodies to be fit for heaven to meet the Lord in the air. We already covered that. We learn from Revelation 3:10 and other passages of Scripture that the great escape will occur before the tribulation period. We already talked about that. The fact that should be great and encouragement to believers. We find the chronology of the early chapters of Revelation lining up perfectly with what we ought to know about the rapture. We know the first three chapters, as I mentioned this morning, are, you know, the church has talked about, the seven churches, all right? They're discussed in those three chapters. But after chapter 3, the church is no longer mentioned in Revelation until near the end. And that's when we're coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's very clear. So where is the church? Why don't you find the church in Revelation chapter 4, all the way up to chapter 20, I believe it is? Because the church is not here. That's why. It's as simple as that. I mean, you really don't have to be a rocket scientist to really understand that. At least I don't think you do. All right? In Revelation 2 and 3 depicts the church age. Then it is fitting for the rapture of the church to be depicted immediately following the final church era. Revelation 4 opens with this awesome event. Again, it's the rapture. Excuse me again. Are we watching? Are we watching for the rapture? Is it on the tip of our tongue every time we pray? Does it motivate us? Do we have to be afraid of it? Are we ready? In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, let me read you that passage. We learn from 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Paul's description of the Antichrist, that the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is present on earth through the church age, is what currently prevents the lawless spirit of the Antichrist to take place. All right? But the moment that the church and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with her is removed, and it will be removed, the Holy Spirit will be removed during the rapture, and is removed and taken to heaven, the stage will set for all hell to break loose. See, one of the reasons, and I hope I've made this clear, is that one of the reasons that the Antichrist will be able to come on scene after the rapture, because the Holy Spirit will not be here. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it'll be like in the Old Testament. All right? And so people who get saved, they will have the Holy Spirit. It will be a dwelling, but the way that I understand it, it will not be a permanent dwelling. All right? So the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, will be removed, and which means that Satan and the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet, all of them will have the freedom to do exactly what they want to do, and that's when God's judgment comes upon them through the different bold judgments, and that's for another time as we discuss that. There are at least four main purposes of God's judgment during the tribulation. Punishment of the world's sin after a long period of grace. That's the period that we're in now. To spur Israel and the Jewish people to turn to Christ for salvation and see that he is indeed their long-awaited Messiah. That's going to be a great day when they realize that Jesus Christ was their Messiah from the beginning. All right. Another reason for God's judgment is to cause a remnant of tribulation period Gentiles to come to the Lord, to usher in the return of Christ to earth to set up his millennial kingdom. Those are the purpose. What's our future? Our future rapture-induced trip to heaven's throne will be totally, unbelievably awesome for us. According to 1 Corinthians 15:53. When we are raptured, we will be changed in an instant. The perishable must clothe itself with imperishable. The reason this must happen is that we cannot handle the awesome realities of heaven in our current bodies that can handle the sights and the sounds, the emotions, the knowledge of heaven. We need new bodies, and they will be glorified. In closing, I would like to share with you my time is gone. Perhaps maybe I can come back another time. But I've got 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 8 verses here about the doctrine of the imminence, which proves that it can happen at any time. All right? Jesus Christ is coming soon, and we have to live our lives in such a fashion that we believe that. So, another verse in closing I want to share with you. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now, I mentioned that verse this morning. All right. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So what happens? What do we do? How do we respond? Well, let's start talking about it. You know, let's start praying about it. Let's ask God to help us to be reminded that it could happen in our lifetime. Let's get excited about it, all right? I mean, we're all believers. We're all going to heaven, right? I would assume that all of you are saved. So let's get excited about the rapture, and let's talk about it more. I think we need to do that. I think that's what we need to do. So, Let me close by just, as I said this morning, I've got the land here because my time is gone. But if you do not know the Lord is your Savior, I would ask you tonight that the day of salvation could be for you. Are you saved? Do you know Christ is your Savior? I hope you do. I really do. So let's pray together.